Hello.
Hey Cass, how you doing? It's Ewing from Next Chapter. Cass, you
Cool.
there? Oh,
Yeah.
hey. Hey, it's Ewing from Next Chapter Advisors. We
Yeah.
represent three different organizations, two of them precast owners of 40 years that are looking to expand through acquisition. And one of them has Jacobson on their target list and asked me to see if you'd be interested in having a discussion about that.
Yeah, that discussion ends up with us revealing a whole lot and not getting a whole lot of answers in return, I'm afraid.
Well, you know what? I very much appreciate that. I was a business owner myself. I sold two of my own companies, and the reason I decided to do this is because I was very unhappy with the brokers that I met. I'm not a broker by background. I'm a business builder by background, and my partner and I have sold five businesses between us, and we take everything very, very seriously, and we do most of the work that brokers put on their clients because we are operators. So I know that's a lot of promise on a call for somebody you haven't met yet, but I'd be happy to try to show you a difference of experience, starting with the very first call.
Who's your partner?
My partner's Mark DeChant out of Phoenix
Mark. Okay.
and John Kelly out of Austin, Texas.
Do you have any idea where Mark would have got my email that was not the correct email for me? Just out of
Ooh.
curiosity.
Yes, it would have either come from People Data Labs or ZoomInfo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it went to my normal everyday job and not to my business email. So wasn't ideal, and it wasn't to me, it was wrong, so it went to a different person at my normal everyday job.
Oh, gosh.
Well, it's no big deal. I mean, just that's why I was just curious, like how could that even happen, So
Yeah.
but when you're buying information, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
I don't, I just don't know what, I guess what's the process, Ewing? 'Cause
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm interested. We
Sure.
have told others within the last 12 months that we're just not interested at this point.
Yep.
But I guess I'm just curious what would be the process and
Yeah. Yeah, we need to get a sense of, your book value. That could be as simple as a tax return you filed for the last couple of years as a starting point. We don't need to go digging around with a forensic knife just to get investors interested. We just need to be factual within plus or minus 5%. It doesn't have to be a full-blown book audit. So that would be one piece. On the buyer side, we've already got buyers lined up. I mean, they're calling us. My partner out of Orlando inherited his brokerage from his dad, 42 years of business, and they've done deals with 1,800 different buyers. And his dad was the kind of guy that wrote down every single name and number on a notepad for his whole life. And so the son now, Cress, he's 57, and all of his partners are between 55 and 70, and it's all they do. So they kind of work the other side of the aisle. They work with people that have bought from them before, and they ask them what they're looking for. And precast is one of those industries on that list. So it's a little bit different maybe than other brokers who just want to charge you a fee of like 20 grand and build a slide deck and have you on Zoom every other day. And we don't need to do any of that kind of stuff. So we can certainly. What we like to say is, if we don't find you something interesting in 90 days, we'll fire ourselves, and we really stand by that. So one conversation on Zoom, I bet you can answer most of the things we need to know in a single shot, and then we'll compile a picture of you, send it back to you. If it reads well and accurate and doesn't overstate or undervalue what you've built, then we'll go take that to those investors that I mentioned, and if they want to engage, then we'll set it up from there.
Let me ask you a like a realistic question. If we went through that quick process and the valuation to us was just not what we think it's worth, and numbers are the numbers, right? They're not going to lie. Maybe it makes it so we're not ready to sell. Does any of that information go out to any of those other people that you're probably representing, right?
No. So we go out anonymously, and they have to be willing to essentially sign a one pager that's not really binding, but says, you know, I am interested in that business at that price. And as far as the price goes, I'm glad you brought it up, because yeah, this is an area I've spent a tremendous amount of time on. In the deals that I've closed, I've always gotten above median, and it's always been about the story. And in fact, I have permission from my last client to share a deck with you. I'll share the deck that I used to pitch the investor in the first meeting, because he's given me permission to do that. And I think you'll find it interesting how little numbers it has in it, how much we talk about what they built and why there are strategic pillars that an acquirer can expand further. To me, that's the name of the game, is articulating that, designing that, packaging that up, de-emphasizing EBITDA. And of course, there's ad backs and other things that we can do to prop up the EBITDA number. And, you know, in the case of two deals ago, I got a guy another $1.5 million credit to his EBITDA, just because the buyer wanted to get the deal done. And they're willing to do that because it allowed them to borrow more debt and save cash on the acquisition if the value was higher. So they gave them credit for, you know, just things that are one-time expenses that wouldn't come again. So they also gave them credit for a better rebate, because they had a better rebate. So there's that, to me, where the action is. That's where the real value creation is as far as the sales process goes. You know, and that's what we're specialists at. So,
but those kind of numbers, you're talking about like middle market sales, but we're like lower, really low.
Yeah.
We're really small compared to that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And so you have to sort of adjust by a decimal or a, you know, a zero or whatever it is, right? It's orders of magnitude for sure. Are you, is there 10 of you guys, employee wise?
No, we're more like six.
Okay. What was your top line revenue roughly last year?
It bumps up against $1 million.
Okay. And you got a concrete plant and you're doing things underground? Or are you more above ground?
Underground? I guess I'm not sure what you mean.
So I'm learning the industry in real time, right? So as I brought forth some targets early on, one of them said, well, those guys just do roadway dividers. You know, those guys just do cemeteries. We want to buy a company that's doing things that go into the ground, right? So precast and pipe, and not so much vanity stuff above ground, you know?
Yeah. So we're completely not completely. We're 95% underground. It's septic tanks.
Perfect.
Mostly, but there are a few other things, but the bulk of it is septic tanks.
Yeah. Okay, 50 years of business, man. That's so good. Is this a family legacy?
No. You know, it was. The first owner was a cousin of the second owner, but when I bought it, that was just 3-4 years ago. I didn't know any of them. It was just through a broker. So.
Yeah.
But he stayed on for a while with us. He delivered tanks for us and just helped as much as he could, getting us transitioned for about 2 years. And then he just gave me some of the other land around it and stuff like that. He's been a real help, but he's in his upper 80s. And so he's probably this year, he probably won't be involved, but it's been a really good transition through the 50 years of people working together through those two transitions it's gone through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you're not quite sure, but you're open to the right deal. Did you already have in your own mind, is there a number that would cause you to do a deal, you know, that, you know, you either hit the number or you don't?
No, it's just not how we think. Whenever we look at deals, we just, you know, we don't look at it like that. Like if I could buy one for $10 million, that would be perfect. We don't do that. We look at the numbers and see what makes sense and where return time frame is and all that stuff. So that's what we would do. Like how long we've been doing it. What's our return on what we've already done? And I don't know. Yeah, there's no set number.
Okay. All right.
Well, I know that doesn't help you, but
we just
don't look at them like that. Right.
Sure. Well, that sounds like a buyer comment.
We have been searching for other precast companies to buy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're not big enough. We're not as big as like the one your partner, Mr. DeShanter, reached out, I guess, through the wrong email there. The one that he was talking about as potentially acquiring us or whatever, they're a lot bigger. So,
yeah. Did you get a letter in the mail as well?
You know, I don't remember one from your company.
Yeah.
We've received several others from other companies.
Let me do this. So I get the email, the right email this time. What is your correct email?
Simple. CASSUP, as in Paul, @gmail.com.
Okay.
We're not even big enough where we have the work email address.
You know, I find it fascinating. You know, I grew up in Mississippi. A lot of my friends run roofing companies with the Gmail. I go out to the West Coast and work for IBM and got around all this tech madness and all these systems and stuff. And I come back and people are operating on text messages and Gmail and they're just happy as they can be. And I thought, man, you know, maybe I had it wrong. So, all right. Well, hey, I'm going to send you, I'll send you a preliminary process overview and then we can go from there. We'll trade notes by email and maybe set up a call next week.
Okay. Thank you, Ewing.
All right. Yeah, man. Good talking to you, Cass.
You too.
All right. Be well.